Welcome to the WJBM Outdoor Show, coming from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple: kill big deer. Returning, we have Bill Heffington, Calhoun County Sheriff, hunting legend, and we were talking a little bit about coyote hunting on the last show. We want to continue talking about some of the different strategies with regard to, everything. Like you said, Bill, everything's different. You go out one night and you have success. You go out another night and you might not have success doing the same thing, but something different, or none at all. So yeah,
your setups are all, you got to do your setups according to your terrain you have. Your landowner you're hunting on can tell you a lot of good information, because most of them are deer hunters. Most of them got cameras up. They tell you where the coyotes are at. And then your setups are so important because of your terrain and the wind. And like me, when we hunt in hollows, you don't want to hunt in a hollow with the wind blowing, because the wind swirls back and forth. You get wind going your face one way and it comes the other way, you just will move, because them coyotes come in around those hollows and those swales, and then the little ridges, they can smell you. But if windy nights, we like get up on top on the ridges. We set our collar up to 200-300 yards away in a crosswind. So that way, when they come to your collar, they're coming into the wind and they're not smelling you because you ain't there. Where they come to the collar, because I'll spray my collar down with some kind of scent killer, and you want them to come to that collar so you get a good side view of them. But that, where the wind comes, important. You just have to set for that terrain. I mean, ridges and stuff, you get offset and make sure, it's hard to do. Your scent don't blow down in the hollows, because when they come up through hollows, how far that travels, it depends on humidity and the temperature, and they smell you a long way. I've had them smell me already up 600 yards away. You see them in open territory and they swing around on you. So the terrain is so important when you call. And then, I don't know, there's a lot of different calls out there. I know, like my little group hunts, we've got all different styles of calls, because you got the Fox Pro, you got Ecotec, you got the Lucky Duck. I mean, it's then we got the Alpha Dog from Primos. Every call has a different sound. So when you're hunting an area, multiple times, it helps have a different sound. Because them coyotes are educated. And once they've been hunting an area and they hear the same sound, they're not coming. But every caller, every brand of caller has a different tone to it. Okay. So I recommend always use a different caller when you hit the area a second time, so it's not the same sound. You got to trick these coyotes into coming, and it makes a world of difference, have several different callers. And then, like I said, a lot of them, like mine, the caller I got's got, my remote works 300 yards. And if it's in line of sight, I think it'd go a little further than that. But only thing is, you got to remind you, if you walk out there and put that caller out 300 yards, then you got to walk back. So then you got to go pick it up. And that's another 300 yards, so you get your exercise.
Right.
In this deep snow, Then if you get a couple coyotes, then you got to carry them back, too. So, I mean, it's exercise. I mean, it takes work, but it's all successful when you plan these hunts. So, like I said, you got to know your terrain and play the wind. The wind's a big factor in this coyote hunting. And for that king nose they got, that's what makes it a big challenge. Like I said, it's nothing automatic about a coyote. I mean,
now, a lot of times with whitetail, what we try and do is, let's say we're hunting a specific buck, and we're targeting it on an evening hunt. We'll say we want to get 100, 150 yards from its bed, because you get in too close, you're going to push them off. I'd imagine a lot of consideration goes into that when you're coyote hunting, too. Yeah. If there's an area where you think they might be versus,
The only thing different about coyote hunting, deer hunting, is deer can walk across your track and he won't, he ain't too suspicious. But a coyote crosses your track, buddy, he's alert and he's getting the heck out of Dodge.
Okay.
That's the difference between that and the deer hunting. Deer hunting, you can get away with some scent around walking in. But like I said, that's another one. You walk in an area, you want to make sure that's the area you ain't calling from, because when they hit those ridges, and I've seen it quite a bit, when they come out behind you and get on them ridges and they smell your track, game's over. I mean, they get the heck out of there. So, I mean, that makes another challenge, you know. So sometimes we'll put callers in behind us when we do walk in, we're able to be able to got a way we can shoot. You got to have like we shoot rifles, and we always make sure that we're shooting into something where we're in a safety zone. So if you get some shots, because we pass up a lot of shots because it was on a flat or on a hill where we had to shoot over. So that's another thing to consider, you know, that you gotta plan your shots, get them where you want them to be so you got good shooting, you know, like a slopey hillside pass. Cattle's a real good spot because coyotes like being around livestock. And we have a lot of success hunting around cattle, you know, especially when they're calving. I mean, I know a particular guy in Calhoun called me up, and we went there, and we killed 9 that week while his cattle were calving in 4 nights.
Oh, wow.
And they smell that afterburst, and they start bottling the cattle. So, cattle, turkeys, everything, you like wildlife, or like the cat, like the livestock, because everything survives off each other.
Yeah.
You know, and it just... that's something else to consider too. You know, people's got a lot of cattle and stuff around, or these pastures are feeding. That's another, you know, good place to start too, you know. And then you also got a lot of movement there too with the cattle being around, that they don't pick you up as quick either. But
might be a little more,
yeah,
we used to it.
We used to use decoys, but using decoys at nighttime, like the spinning rabbit and stuff.
Yeah.
Only thing you get there is hoot owls. Hoot owls scrape down, take your top off your collar, and you lose the rabbit swinging around the thing. He's gone.
Right.
You know, the hoot owls are thick out there, and I mean, I tell you, they don't make no noise. You'll see some quick swipe come by, and you look out your decoy, and it's gone, except for the mechanical part. So we don't even use that anymore, because most of the time coyotes can't even see it at night. Their vision's not that good. Now, moonlight night, it would help, and daylight. Daylight is perfect. When you want to call daytime, them shaking rabbits and stuff, they work good.
Okay.
That gets a coyote's attention on that, and they'll pick that up just like radar, and they'll head right for us. They're hungry, and they ain't watching you, you know. So just like people have been turkey hunting, where coyotes about run over top of them going to their decoy, about the same thing. Daytime hunting is altogether different, because when I started this thermal, guy told me, he said, that did some thermal, I bought my stuff from a company I deal with. He said, your coyote hunter proved 10-1 from daytime to nighttime, and he was right on. This night hunting's altogether different, you know. They just, because they can't see as good, but you still got to deal with their king nose.
Hey, let's talk about this. This is something that I think is interesting. You've been hunting coyotes for a long time. What are some of the different maybe technologies or different strategies that you've incorporated since a child that have really kind of been benchmarks in your coyote hunting career, if you will?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's a different game from running dogs. I mean, we used to run hounds. We had some real good hounds, and we'd run coyotes 6 hours, you know, if you wouldn't get him killed. They run all over the place, and then over time changed. Then we got the electronic collars on dogs, where we knew where the dogs went to, because they travel. They may run 50, 60 miles in a day chasing a coyote.
Yeah.
And coyotes have got a 50-mile range, you know, according to conservation and some of the shows I watch. So, because when we had dogs, we run them from one end of the county all the way into Pike County. Then when the rivers freeze up, we run them plumb over to like Ellsbury, Missouri, across that river. Then we run them over into the park from over to Calhoun, across the refuge. They come across that ice, and then the time you get around, you know, your day's shot, and then try to get where you get them caught. So you just have to wait till they get wore out or come to a road someplace.
Yeah.
And with the electronic collars they had on, at least back then we had the beepers we first started out, where you just beep them, you go by your sound and direction. And now, since they got this GPS tracking, oh my god, it's something else. I didn't have one when we had our dogs. It wasn't advanced yet, but I watched some of the guys that do it. Oh, they tell where your dog's at, they tell if he's barking or not, they know how many miles per hour they're traveling, they know just how many miles they run that day. It's just like having a computer and watching a video show. I mean, wow. You see the trees, you see the houses, you see the creeks. You just don't tell you where the coyote's going. You just got to follow the dogs, you know. Most of them guys I used to know, they know where the coyote cross, but the coyote don't. So that's why they don't, you know, it just, it's a challenge. But then, like I said, I got rid of my dogs. I've been in this job for going on 20 years, and my time was limited, and you didn't have much time to hunt, and it costs a lot of money feed dogs nowadays, plus all the vet bills, getting hung in fences and getting cut up and getting in fights. And you always go to the vet and get them sewed up and with shots and everything else. So, and not have no time to do it anymore, I just got out of it, and then I got into the calling aspect of it. And we start with night vision, because I had a thermal scanner. My buddy got a night vision with infrared. And then once I got my good thermal scope and put on my rifle, my buddy couldn't even get a shot because I already had him down for then. So after that, we all got thermal after that, and it just exploded after that. You know, having good equipment, seeing the night because there's no lights. You know, the only light you use is to walk in and walk out with, you know. But the coyotes can't see it because infrared, they can see that. I've seen that, or a coyote see that little red beam and because I used to spot them, and I'd put the light on my rifle. I had a light on top, and as soon as the light hits them, they're gone. Look back in your handheld thermal, you see them sneaking off. So, I mean, but the difference now with everything being thermal, it evens the playing field a little bit. Gives you more of a chance to get on. Some guys said, well, that's cheating. I said, no, that's tough. I mean, them coyotes are a coyote, and they, like I said before, when you're in an area, I think they sense they know you're there, because I mean they're constantly on the alert and they're used to the territory, and anything out of whack they notice it, you know, and that's why sometimes we hunt out in the open in the mid dark. They see something out there and they keep looking at you and staring at you, you know. I said, well, that ain't been there before, but it's too late. We done got him,
right?
You know? So, yeah, that's one of the advances from the night vision to the thermal, from way back when we had dogs. It just, only thing is to me, the thermal's expensive, but it sure is cheaper than burning all that gas trying to catch dogs and then feeding them all summer long. And, you know, that's expensive too. So, So now I'm at peace. We just sit on a swing bucket, call them to us, try to. And like I said, we've been fairly successful at it. And then, like I said, then there's times we ain't. It's just every night's a different ball game with the coyotes. So it's just what kind of mood you catch. If they're hungry, it's going to be better. A lot of times they just, like I said, we get acknowledged a lot out there, but they won't come. So there's either two things, the weather or they've been hunted there before. And so I found out. So then I find out when we get in an area where we get a lot of coyotes barking, they won't come. Then I find out somebody's been already hitting them there. And that makes it tough. So, keep coyotes from getting smarter. Don't miss. Hit where you're aiming. That's the trick of killing a coyote.
Right.
So sometimes that's hard to do. So like I always told my buddies, I said, they're always easier to hit running because they're longer. You got more to shoot at. So, and they usually are running.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're a sharp, sharp animal. So it's, like I said, nothing's automatic. I mean, even when you aim small, you miss small. That's what I tell everybody. I said, you shoot the whole coyote, you're going to miss more than you hit. But you aim at a particular little spot. I always say, pick a hair on him, and if you miss, you still got him.
Right.
Aim small, you miss small, yeah. You know. And I always like to have that sudden impact where you kill them dead and you don't have to worry about suffering or nothing else. Or just, you know, just then you don't have to go look for them either. They're right there. You can hook your binding wire to them or twine, just carry them out, put them in the truck. I usually give coyotes, anybody that wants them, you know. I know last year I had a guy take 30 or 40 of them, had them skint, had them took up north, had them all tanned. He makes his own rugs out of them and turned out real good. He make coats or whatever you want out of them, you know. But I seen some beautiful hides tanned, and, man, they last forever. I know my boys killed their first coyote, had a tan, and they're still just as good today as the day they killed them. That's been over 20 years ago, you know. So they stay good tanned. So I always like to get a coat made out of them, you know. If I know a place will do it for you, you just got to take the time to do it. So
that'd be
skinning
cool.
Coyotes is harder than skinning a beef, in my book. I skinned a lot of beef and hogs in my day, and a coyote was tougher than any of it. So
really,
they are tough. Even when you skin them warm, they are tough. So
All right. We're going to take a break, hear a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the WJBM Outdoor Show, coming from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple: kill big deer. And with us, we have Sheriff Bill Heffington. We've been talking a lot about coyote hunting, and we were just talking about skinning coyotes. They're tough, tougher than the hog, you said.
Oh, well, yeah, you got to. I'd skin a lot of coyotes in my day, because you used to get a lot for them back enough pay for your dog food back then. And I cleaned them all, you know. And then
what happened to that?
Well, the fur market went kaput, and that's why walleye or the animals are getting thick. Coons are getting thick. Nobody hunts them anymore, you know. Before, I remember a time you used to get $25-$30 for a coon hide and a coyote hide. Foxes were like $60 back. I forget what it was, back in the '80s, I believe it was. You know, everybody hunted back then. That's entertainment. Everybody had something to do, but now everybody's on cell phones and Snapchat and TikTok, and it's a different entertainment world out there today.
It is.
But the hunting part, I love taking kids hunting. I mean, I've took kids hunting and killed their very first deer this past couple of years. They killed their first gobblers this last couple of years, and they've killed it for my grandson and one of my older granddaughters killed their first coyote this year. And I mean, it was just so excited, you know. It just,
yeah,
I know she killed one and forgot to shoot the other one. She's so excited about getting the first one by 180 yards, you know. And to me, that's a lot of fun. What a lot of the kids, you know, the American heritage, and I hate to lose it. And that's our future, letting these kids hunt. And we're got several hundred acres down there, and I mean, I let kids hunt, and I invite kids up to hunt, and neighbor kids, and just to hear their stories on the misses and the successful hits. I mean, it's priceless.
Right.
I mean, I get a big kick out of it. I just enjoy it because it reminds me when I was a kid. I remember I killed my first fox and my first coyote. I still remember it, and I remember where it was at, and I remember being so excited and jittery and shaking, you know. And this is like my first deer. I know where I kill all that stuff at the farm, and that's something you never forget. And I'm sure these kids will never forget the times I spent with them, and I plan on doing a lot of more of that when I retire with the kids, and then go fishing with them. And just like my grandson this year, he said, "Grandpa, I ain't never caught this many fish before with Dad." And I said, "That's because you ain't been fishing with Grandpa before." So you got to help know the river and the timing. Everything's timing with everything, with hunting and I think the fishing, squirrel hunting, you know, you're more successful during the hickory nut time than any other time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everything's that way, you know. It's just, that's the way it's made. The good old world is just, when everything's made, and it makes it better for hunting wise, you know. And you can be take out what you want, and you know, be selective, and that's what's fun about it, you know. And then to me, it all tastes good. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I know one of the kids says, "Well, you just keep it here because your stuff tastes a lot better than Mom's." He goes, so it definitely got to know how to cook that stuff. I mean, like I use, like deer and stuff, we'll use salt water. We cut them all off the bone, and then we'll use white vinegar in the water. After we soak the blood out of them in salt and let them sit there a few days, and they turn white, gets rid of all that smell. White vinegar is a good recipe for cleaning up deer, you know,
okay.
Especially bucks. You know, if you want to clean the meat up and get that smell out of them.
Yeah.
And deer's like beef. You can let them go for a while, and they'll keep good, you know. So,
yeah.
That's what we do. And then we grind it up for hamburger, or some of the kids will take it to the get brats made of it, or sticks and stuff like that, and hopefully get your own stuff back, because we got ours so clean, and it's, you don't have no hair on it, it floats off of it, and, you know, we clean it up real good, and that white vinegar does good. I even use white vinegar in my squirrels, let them sit in there for 5-6 days, and you talk about make them tender, and they don't have no vinegar taste either.
Yeah.
You know, and I like season everything before I cook it, because like squirrels, I'll season it with like whatever seen like it's either seasoning salt, Zesty or Lowry's or whatever you want to use. Or I always got that from when I used clean squirrels. I drop one, you never could get the dirt off of them. And I said, you know what? I'm going to season them whenever I got them cleaned. After I got them clean cut up, I'll just stir them all up, season them good, and then I flour them, let it set a little bit, and then I deep fry them or put them in an iron, cast iron skillet. God, they turn out good, you know. So that white vinegar does make them tender. It makes the bones a little pliable, too. So we used to do fish like that, too, make our homemade herring, and the bones dissolve and everything else, and you just don't have that smell to it. It just... White vinegar is good for everything. So I also take vinegar on pickle juice and stuff and just sip on that, you know, cholesterol getter. Mm-hmm. Helps better than taking cholesterol pills. So, you know, eat pickles with sweet vinegar and whatever have you on. I like even on fish, fried fish vinegar. So. So the cooking part, like I said, I learned that from Mom. She was a good cook from way back when, because like, Mel there at the Illinois River Dock, he got his instincts from Mom, too, you know, when he used to cook all that food at River Dock. So, we grew up around cooking because we had to. If you want something to eat, you had to cook it. If you want it to taste right, you cook it yourself. So, yeah.
You know,
So that's what I can say some more of my wife's cooking, too. But she's a heck of a baker, though. She can bake, but the cooking part, you know, now I do the cooking. She does all the baking. I always told them at church, we always had a lot of holy water around the house because when we first got married, she always burned the hell out of that water, so we had holy water. So, it's been a good journey, you know. I look back in my life, I said, I've been blessed. You know, I mean, we dealt with some health issues with cancer and stuff because I went through a stem cell transplant with advanced 4-stage bone marrow cancer and survived. Second trip. And so it makes you appreciate things, you know, every day, one day at a time, you know, and even with this job, you get aggravated sometimes, but you think about it, you know what, I'm in the bonus years. I should have been, you know, I shouldn't have made it through it, but I did. And you know what? I just enjoy it. Now I'm enjoying it with kids, grandkids, neighbor kids, having fun. And just to see expression on their face or success rate when something happens, you know, when they kill one and, then when they miss, they're telling their stories too. Some of the missed stories are more, you get more of a conversation on a miss and you do a hit.
Right.
You know, so, but no, it's all good. It's fun and it's all good family oriented, you know, functions. And I just really appreciate it, you know, with being out in the outdoors. You know, you got your health, you got a good outdoors and deal with your mother nature. I mean, I just like sitting in the woods and just listen to things. Watch the squirrels play. Mm-hmm. Listen to all the birds. Close your eyes. Listen to Mother Nature. There's so much out there, you know, a person can take for granted.
Yeah, well, thank you for your time, and thank you so much for your service as well.
Maybe we'll take you hunting one of these days.
I hope so.
So we'll go at it, see the firsthand.
Hopefully soon. Hopefully next week.
Yeah, the agony of defeat and the luckiness of success. So.
All right. Well, thanks again. Yeah.